Gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Joshua 1, verse 9, and I want y'all to trip on this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Coming by way of question this morning, do me a favor, look at six people and ask them, who needs a man? Who needs a man? You may be seated in the Lord's house. It was the late, great Billy Graham who said that a good father is the most unheralded, unnoticed, but possibly most valued asset in our nation. I concur with Dr. Graham that for whatever reason, we don't always consider the beauty of a good father, the necessity and criticality of a good man in our lives. Okay, pray for me, because I'm sort of dealing with the good problem of having a dual thematic thrust. What are you talking about? For the first time, I believe, in the history of the world, particularly in America, two national holidays have fallen on the same day. Yeah, I think due to our president's knowledge and courage to make Juneteenth a national holiday, today we celebrate both Father's Day and Juneteenth on the same day. As great as that is, it does create sort of a pastoral preaching pedagogical conundrum, because am I dealing with Juneteenth? Am I dealing with Father's Day? Am I going to stick with our series that started last weekend, Let's Do It Again? And then it hit me that none of the three are mutually exclusive. None of the three are mutually exclusive in that every man in here needs to be free. And in our text, the children of Israel have just walked into freedom. And so I want to say to all of you that in a very real sense, I'm going to preach all three. Okay, let's get started. I'll prove it to you. I don't want to waste any time. It's Father's Day, and I feel a let's go to dinner spirit all over the room. Look at verse 8, it's on the screens, because verse 8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Peep this, Vernonizing, and then you shall do whatever it says. Wait a minute. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate, watch this, and then you shall do. Wait, let me try one more time. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and then you shall meditate to do what? And then do whatever it says. Let me set some quick context just in case you weren't here last Sunday. I don't want to assume anything. We began a series titled Let's Do It Again. It is the story of the children of Israel. Their great valiant leader, Pastor Moses, has went off the scene. Now young Joshua, his protege, his mentee, his disciple, is now in charge. And God says, Moses is dead. Joshua, you take over. He says, but I want to get you hyped before you take over. In order for you to be the kind of leader and successful leader that you want to be, it's going to require a few things. He says, first and foremost, keep the word in your mouth. Talk about it. Can I tell you, at that time, I think this is critical, there was no written Bible. He's talking about some form of tablet or some sort of scripture inference that they have, but we know the canonization of the scripture does not happen until hundreds of years later. So when you hear him say, keep the word in your mouth, it's not the same Bible app you got. It's not the Bible you're holding in your hand, but whatever word they had at the time, either the Decalogue or whatever Levitical laws we had, which are not even written yet. Please catch this. He's saying, this is critical, keep the word in your mouth. Now you got a whole Bible. Now, watch this, you got the canon in full completed. You got Genesis through Revelations. He says, if you want to be successful, every man and woman come here. He says, when it comes to the Bible, watch this, keep it in your mouth. First of all, write it down, talk about it. Yeah, talk about the word. Talk about the word. Can I tell you something? One of the reasons why I'm trying to get brothers hyped in this church and ladies too, I don't hear enough people talking about the word. Forget who's sleeping with who, and forget who got the most followers on Twitter and Instagram, and forget the latest gossip on the hip hop. No, can I tell you, some of you have lived long enough to know that the power of life is to talk about the word. I'm going to tell you something. You can tell when God then got a hold of somebody, they'll talk about the word anywhere. I wished I had some people that know you'll be walking down the street. Somebody said, girl, you look blessed. You say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Baby, they're trying to kill you. They're trying to take you out. Don't make no difference. When my enemies came against me, they stumbled and fell. I wished I had 5-6 people. Baby, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I know the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Baby, you're going to lose your mind. No, I'm not. He will keep thee in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. You're going to lose your mind. It's not going to work out for you. Yes, it is. All things work together for the good of those that are called. He says, first and foremost, talk about the word. I need all of you to at least download practical preaching. Practical preaching. Download the Bible app. Download it. Sometime when you're stuck in the airport, don't just swipe left when your reading life is bereft. No, you download that app. You read the word. But then he says something powerful. He says, don't just talk about it. He says, meditate. Ooh, Hebraically. You know what that means? It means to utter it. It means to mutter it. It means to think about it. Philippians 4, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, whatever things are of good report, whatever things are noble, watch this, think on these things. Tell yourself what to think. He says, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, he says, think on these things. So it's not just reading, it is meditating, it is muttering, watch this, it is contemplating. I want you to read the Bible so much, and then watch this, man, sometime just sit around, think about it. Yeah, let the word get in you. Sometime I read the word, and then I let the word speak to me and say, God, what are you saying to me? But then he says something else powerful. He says, then you will do whatever it says. So, yeah, not only talk about the word, watch this, and not only meditate on the word, but look at somebody and say, do the word. James 1:22 says, those who are hearers of the word and not doers only deceive themselves. In other words, the Bible says it's like a man who looks in the mirror and after seeing, according to the book of James, what he looks like, goes away without fixing nothing. Every sister that looked in the mirror this morning, throw your hand up. Okay, you looked in there and said, my track is to the left. It should be way over here. All right. How many of you thank God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit for makeup? Raise your hand. Praise God. Amen. That's God. Praise God. Amen. And so he says, what good is it to look in the mirror, to see everything that's messed up, and then say, man, my roller hanging off my head, I got sleep in my eye, my makeup needs fixing, and walk away and do nothing. He says, don't just hear the word, but do the word. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I heard somebody say, since you don't come on Wednesdays, I'm gonna bring Wednesdays to you, because we often say faith come by hearing, and hearing by what? Say it again. Faith come by, and hearing by what? One more time. Faith come by. Now, we have erroneously taught that passage to mean that the more I sit and hear the word, my faith is growing. Now, that's not necessarily incorrect, but that's not the text. Let me try it again. The more I sit and hear the word, my faith automatically grows. Well, if that's true, then how come the people who have been in church the longest don't have the most faith? If just hearing the word builds your faith, all of us know people that's been in church since Moby Dick was a guppy, and they ain't got faith to first. Here you are, just met God 3 years ago. Watch this. The Bible really means don't just hear the word. Faith don't just come by hearing. Try not to shout. Faith come by doing. Y'all missed that. Yeah, when I tithe, that's faith. When I stick with somebody I want to walk away from and divorce, that's faith. When I work through some stuff that should have ran me away, that's faith. I wish I had some people here that would thank God that for the last 5-6 years, you've been doing the word. Now, I'm on my way to Father's Day. Let me just set some context. Because look at verse 9. It's on the screens. I want you to catch this. It says, have not I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Wait a minute. Be strong and courageous. Wait a minute. This is the third time in a few verses. You don't believe me? Okay, in verse 6, he tells them it's on the screen. Be strong and courageous. Wait a minute. Then in verse 7, be strong and courageous. Now in verse 9, be strong and courageous. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm losing the whole church. Because here it is. Come here. Joshua, I feel like it this morning. Can I preach on Father's Day? Joshua is getting ready to take over leadership, leadership of God's people. God says, the first thing I want you to do is be strong. Be strong. Hebraically, it's from the Hebrew word shazak. Say shazak. Okay, just remember Shazam. But it begins with a C. Hebraically, it is shazak, which means be strong. Try not to shout. Here's your first one. How come he gonna tell Joshua three times the same thing? Because apparently he's saying, I see and sense some fear. I sense some trepidation. I sense there's some things you don't think you're ready for. So before you take over, I need to speak to you regarding your personal inadequacies. You have a fear. I don't know who this word is for. But he says, I'm going to encourage you in your area of weakness. Because why would God say be strong three times unless there's some fear issue? You know what shazak means in the Hebrew? Try not to shout. It means tell yourself to be strong. Okay, y'all just missed it. Let me try it one more time. It is where we get the idea in 1 Samuel when the scripture says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, y'all missed it. Here it is. Those watching all across the world. Sometime when the enemy is tiptoeing through the corridors of your mind, sometime when your mind is playing tricks on you, sometime when you feel like you're going to lose your marriage, sometime when the one child keeps breaking your heart and you feel like one day you're going to have to bury one of them because they won't do right, sometime when you feel like you're getting older and maybe nobody's going to ever love you, sometime when you feel like the generational curses of your past are going to jump onto your kids and your grandkids, you just can't sit there. You got to open up your mouth and tell yourself. Now, some of y'all, okay, I wish I had five people. All five of my children would tell you I've been talking to myself. And ever since they was little kids, they'd be saying, Daddy, who you talking to? And I'd be telling them, just keep on living. And one day, you're going to get old enough and grown enough and go through enough stuff where you're going to start walking around saying, devil, you are a lie. I claim the blood of Jesus over my marriage, over my house, over my kids. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm going to make it. I'm blessed. I'm beautiful. I'm coming out of this, devil. You can't have my husband. I just seen somebody who walked in with their child that's been in prison the last couple years. Can I just speak over your life that any child that's giving you problems, I dare you right now to decree and declare and be strong in the name of Jesus and say, devil, you can't have my family. I'm sorry. The songwriter said, encourage yourself. Speak to yourself. I don't know who wrote those lyrics, but you were right Hebraically. I don't know who wrote that, but whoever wrote that, encourage yourself. Speak to yourself. Shazak is the idea of be strong and courageous. No. I got some problems. I guess. If courageous is the same as strong, then why did the Bible tell me to do both of them three times? Look at somebody say, I like a teaching church. Praise God. There has to be something else going on. Be strong and courageous. Shazak is the idea of speaking to yourself. But in the Hebrew, courageous means to harden yourself. Okay, y'all just missed that. Because you can be strong and not necessarily courageous when you need to be. You can be strong enough to take it, but not courageous enough to fight yourself out of it. Okay, y'all gotta catch this. Courageous means to harden. It means to know when to walk away. It means to be strong enough to hurt a brother. Y'all just miss y'all shout. I love you, but I may have to leave you. And I have to have the courage to know that God will take care of me without you. Y'all just missed that. I know it's Father's Day. I love you, woman of God, but if you don't want to love me and want to cheat on me, then God will bless me with somebody else, and I have the courage to know I can survive. I wish I had somebody. Okay, this is going to get so good. Be strong and courageous. Look at verse 9, the second part. I want you to see. Look at it again. Have not I commanded you? Don't be timid. Okay, God, let's have church, has not given us the spirit, NASB, of timidity. Okay, I'm done. I got to get to the fathers. I came to speak over the life of some men particularly, but everybody in the room, God told me to tell you, it's time to get strong. Whatever it is that's been holding you back, whatever it is you've been dealing with, Holy Spirit gave me this morning. Do what you want to do with it. Everybody who had a deadbeat father, everybody who had a deadbeat or missing dad, I got 40 young brothers, all my young disciples, jump up right quick. Jump up all over the room. They here, yeah, I'm training young men. They with me. They with me. Don't y'all worry about them. They with me. Don't worry about them. I got them. Everybody you see standing up, don't worry about them. I got them. Y'all sit down. One of them told me, I didn't know how much reparenting, thank you, Bishop Joey, reparenting I was going to have to do. Bishop Joey says, sometime, son, you have to be reparented. You can be 50 and reparented. It is that figure that comes in your life and says, I can never be them. But to the best of my ability, I want to speak some stuff over your life that maybe your mama didn't speak. Or that your father didn't speak. It is called a kind of reparenting. And one brother walked up to me and said, you'll love this. He walked up to me and said, Pastor, my daddy bought me one thing, one pair of shoes in my life, and didn't even check the box. And they were two left shoes. And God gave me a sermon, wrong is two left shoes. Because I want you to catch this. So here he is dealing with his only memory. And Dr. Luke Fluker, one of my seminary professors, said, can you handle the dangerous memories of your life? He calls them dangerous memories. One of the things that I'm going to do with every brother that's in my discipleship class is help him to deal with his most dangerous memory. Where is that place that gets you stuck? Where is that place that has you glancing into nowhere? What happened that makes you trip while you're driving in the car? What is the one memory the devil tries to bring back regarding who raised you, who didn't raise you? I got a word. Y'all ready to shout up in here? Be strong. Because I just heard God say, that you're going to get all the help you need and spiritual Christian therapy you need. You're going to get the word in you. You're going to get prayer in you. But this hit me this morning. Try not to shout. If you messed up the first half of my life, don't spend the second half dwelling on it. Oh, y'all just missed y'all shout. If the first half of your life was a trip, don't waste the second half tripping on what was a trip. This is your season to say, whatever the devil planned for my life, I'm still here. I wish I had 1,000 men in this church that would jump up and high five another brother and say, be strong, my brother, go ahead. That's the wrong brother. Find a brother, high five him and say, brother, be strong. You're going to be a better father than your father was. You're going to be a better grandfather than you was a father. Can I get 50 people to thank God that God has given you your strength back and you're not going to lay back apathetically and let the devil keep you in depression and keep you sad and keep you mad? The devil is a lot greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't care what you've been through, who you broke up with, who divorced you, who cheated on you, who didn't raise you, who shouldn't have touched you, jump your pretty self up and say, I'm still here. I don't know who this part was for, but hit five people, say, be strong, baby, be strong, be strong. Be strong. You're going to be all right. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Be courageous. Get yourself up. This is your moment. This is your time. There's money in you. There's ministry in you. Heck, there's another man in you. Everything that you need, God will supply it for you. But you cannot lay back apathetically and stop bringing stuff up that God forgot. Don't talk to your kids no more about your ex-husband. They 40 now. Tell Jesus and your therapist. Don't nobody want to keep hearing all the pain you've had in your life that gets old. I thought about the reason why I got to get all the brothers healthy is because it hit me about 5 years ago. I said, all the mess in me, I don't want to drop on my woman. I said, I don't need her trying to mother me through my pain because don't nobody want to sleep with their son. I'm preaching. I said, I got to get my own stuff together. And some stuff your spouse can't fix. And some stuff your kids can't fix. You got to take it to Jesus, Christian therapy, read, and be strong and say, I got to get myself together. I'm losing life. I'm 40, 50, 60. I'm sorry, point down your row, say he might be preaching to you. I don't know. Okay. Let me show you the C clause of verse 9, and then I'm going to get to what I came for. Verse 9 says, God, your God, will be with you every step. I'm trying one more time. God, your God, will be with you. I'm trying to hold it back. 50 and over, y'all feel it coming. 45. And over, I'm trying not to say it. I'm trying not to sing it. Y'all know I'm finna say it. Every step you take. Okay, 45 and over, please. Y'all know where I'm headed. Do me a favor. Let's have a New Edition flashback. Every little step I take, God will be there. Every little step I take, be together. Stop! I'm on TV. Look at somebody young, say 45 and over. Go ahead, 45 and over. Oh, New Edition hot right now. 30 and over, 30 and over, 30 and over, 30 and over. I forgot they're in concert. I went to see them in Miami. Lord, forgive me, I ain't want to tell y'all. Okay, now. Okay. Before I run out of time, let me get to what I came for. So God says to Joshua, I need you to be strong. I need you to gird yourself up. Because watch this, it's too many people counting on you for you to stay sick. And it's too many people counting on you for you not to have a serious sense of direction. It's too many people counting on you for you to be afraid. Stop bleeding on people who needs you to wipe them off. Y'all not catching this. You're going to have to get stronger. This is not for everybody, but it is for somebody. Again, find a place to vent and never vent down. Always vent up, or at least vent horizontally. You'll never hear me get on this stage and say, pray for me and Lady Vernon, she tripping. Now, who want to hear that from their pastor on Sunday? I grab my woman and say, let's go. He can't even get his own marriage together. Praise God. You getting on my nerves and he don't like his woman, we ain't come back here no more. So I vent up to Bishop Joy, or you vent laterally. I see my friend, my brother Terry back there, my brother Terry. I'll vent horizontally, but you never vent down. Yeah, don't tell your kids the bills are due, just pay them. Now y'all know mama ain't got no money, they should holler back, why? Y'all just missed that, praise God. You blessed, you a tither, you got a brain, you still got your health and strength. No more excuses. Let's be strong and get ourselves together. All right, I'm jaywalking. I was, okay, you know what, just because I can, let's shout. Verse 10 says, pack your bags. Y'all missed that, praise God. Now, what I just said, six of y'all, Joshua, run through the camp and tell everybody, pack your bags, because in 3 days, we about to bust a faith move across this Jordan. Come next Sunday, we're going to cross Jordan together, because the problem with some of you is you still shouting about the Red Sea when there's a Jordan in front of you. You're too busy hyped about the Red Sea. The Red Sea is over. There's another Jordan you got to cross. I'm so grateful for the victories of your past, but this next season of your life, come on, the glory of the latter house should be greater than that of the former house. Okay, 25 people say, pack your bags. Go ahead. because God's getting ready to move you to another level. Some of you should start packing. This is not the last house you're going to live in. Start packing. God's getting ready to put you in a new territory. Start packing. God. Start packing. Start packing. I'm done. So I'm asking myself, now how in the world am I going to deal with Juneteenth, Father's Day, and then stay true to the series? Lord, I need you. I'm not that smart. I need you. And the Holy Spirit said all three of them are in the text. I said, really? He said, yeah. Look at verse 14. Let's see if I'm telling the truth. Because the next verse says, your wives, your children, and your livestock can stay here east of the Jordan. But you tough soldiers all must cross, leading your brothers and helping them. Now come here, men. Now come here, fathers, future fathers. Come here, baby daddies. Come here, boyfriends. Come here, fiancés. He says, we're going to have to go and take some territory. We're going to leave the women for now. I need the strong soldiers. Okay, let me just get in trouble all over national TV. Those watching me all across the world, let me just start a little trouble because men have been minimized lately. Yeah, I need saved women to say amen. I said men. The country, the nation, the culture is trying to create a genderless culture, a genderless society, acting as though there is no distinction between men and women. Now, let me say before I get in trouble, I think women are smarter than men. I'm not just saying that. I think women are smarter than men. I think my wife, honestly, is smarter than me in most ways. I'm not being condescending. I mean that. I think women are brilliant, beautiful, should be presidents, vice presidents, lawyers, police, whatever you choose to be. But please understand, don't minimize men. You ready for this? Pastor, but the Bible says, in Christ, there's neither male nor female. I agree, but in life there is. Ooh, I'm going here. I'm getting ready to start some stuff. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. I got 40 brothers that I'm training. We're going to kick it. At some point, they're going to come out to the ranch. I'm learning to trust them, all that. But I told them, you can't disciple me and not trust me. So when I took this on, Pastor, don't bring them to your house. Ministry is risky. Yeah, go be a plumber or a politician. If you want to be a man of God, particularly when the people feed you anyway, somebody got to know where you are and how to get to you and sit with you. So when the right time comes, I'm going to let them come sit with me wherever I'm at because I'm trying to put my heart in them, not just Bible, also how to love a woman. Our five big areas, every man 18 to 40, how did you miss coming? Maybe too late now. May have to wait till the next line. I don't know. Because this is crazy. Because our five big areas, spiritual maturity, emotional health, relational wellness. Are y'all catching this? Financial freedom. Now, I want y'all to catch this. Because what I just said, I want them to get free, which means they're going to sit at my feet. If one woman come in the room, it'll change the whole room. Especially if she's cute. Okay, I just said something y'all don't want to hear. Praise God. Let me try this again. If one woman come in the room with all of us, if 50 women are sitting in a room and one man walk in, every woman in there will sit up. You sitting Indian style, legs out, chilling. One brother walk in, oh Lord Jesus. What's wrong with being honest about our distinctions? What's wrong with admitting that there are some differences between men and women? And there are some things that women bring, and there are some things that men bring. And to all of you that are so feminist that you hate the idea of a man doing anything you can, I don't want a husband I can slam. Yeah. If you can slam your husband, I may grant y'all to separate. I'm just joking. Everybody's talking about the Me Too movement. And my goodness, do I believe in it. The way women have been taken advantage of and harassed in the workplace for years. And men have gotten away with misogynist comments. And all this masculinity disrespect.